Yeah, we're going to look at just a little something tonight, and I want to kind of deal with you. We're having a hallelujah night, amen? We're just praising the Lord and giving Him the glory and honor. I mean, we don't do a whole lot of stuff the world does. We try to stay out of the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be you separate. Amen, we need to do that in the day and hour that we live. As we was looking at this, thinking on this, I got to thinking on a thought for this evening. And I thought we might as well just get where the rubber meets the road and just look at this thing. And I'd like to preach for just a minute tonight, and I'll not be long, just a few minutes, on this thought, trick or treat, it's just a trick. Trick or treat, it's just a trick. As we begin to look at this tonight, you know, and I want to just explain to this, you know where Halloween come from? Now, Halloween started out as originated with the Celtics to acknowledge, pay tribute to their deities. That's where it started at. The Celtics would give tribute to their deities. In other words, they would uplift their hierarchy. They would uplift their people. Now, I don't know about you, but God says the only thing we're supposed to give a deity to is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and God the Father. But they began to lift Him up, and they began to have a time, and it was called sowing, amen. It was a celebration of the Lord of the dead. Praise God. That's what it was. Celebration of the Lord of the Dead. And so the church come along and it decided that it couldn't be left out. So Pope Boniface IV in 610 A.D., he took a Roman temple and he dedicated it to the worship of Mary. That's where that started. Amen? They started worshiping Mary in 610 A.D. Pope Boniface put that in place in a Roman temple. Amen? He took the Romans and they had their own kind of little things going on. So he stepped in and he said, hey, you know, we're going to use your temple and we're going to integrate some worship of one of our saints. And he began to worship Mary. They began to magnify Mary. And then along came Pope Gregory III in 731 and he just designated a day. And he said he is going to take November the 1st, and some of you probably know what I'm going to go here, as All Saints Day. November the 1st as All Saints Day. Amen? So they began to observe that day. Now the church, not wanting to be left out, it was trying to absorb the pagan celebrations that taken place at that time. So the Pope Gregory, he decided to institute a sowing celebration into the church. Amen? So he began to celebrate these All Saints Day because they had a lot of saints that, and they would be supposedly martyred, and they would go to the place they're martyred on the day that they were martyred, and they would lift them up that day. They come to a point in a time when they said, you know what? There's so many martyrs, there's so many different ones and so many different times that we can't do them all at once. So we're going to set aside a day, November the 1st, and that's going to be All Saints Day. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? If you want to bring everything into the envelope of the church. Amen? But the Lord likes to be worshipped. And what they did, they would take these pagan customs to themselves, and they'd dress up like saints and like angels and like devils. Amen? And they would parade in these costumes down to the city limits, and they'd build a giant bonfire at the city limits. Amen? And they would say that it was a worship of the sowings is a worship of the sun god. Now, I never have been able to figure this out because the sun goes down in the evening and they build a giant fire at night. It don't even make sense. If you're going to worship the sun, why wouldn't you build a fire in the daytime? Because wickedness is in the night. Amen? Sinfulness is always in the dark. Hey, if the sun's shining, praise God, the wickedness has to flee. Amen. But they began to build these spin bonfires, and they did it to. But the church turned around and said, "Well, you know, we're going to build these bonfires, but we're going to do it to ward off the wicked, to ward off evil spirits." Amen. Now, last time I heard from the Bible, the Word of God, it says the only way to get rid of evil spirits is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To be saved, to born again, the wickedness will leave out of you, praise God. The Holy Ghost will move in, and you have liberty in the Lord. Amen. That's the way my Bible says it needs to take place. It's not building a fire, and it's not trying to push it out, but it's trying to get that in. Now, I just wonder about these things, where it's found in the Bible. It's nowhere. They can't find none of this in the Bible. It doesn't, and none of it honors God. Amen. Anything that we ought to do, praise God, ought to be for the glory of God. Amen. To benefit Him, to magnify His blessed name. But trick or treat came along. The evil were bothering. They said, well, evil are bothering the good, so the good are going to dress up like evil. Go figure. I ain't figured it out. So because the evil was bothering the good said, hey, you know what? We're going to dress up like evil, and that way they can't tell who's who. That's kind of like the world we're living in today. Amen. Wickedness everywhere. And it's hard to tell who's who. It's hard to pick out the good from the bad. Amen. And that's just about the way that we are. That's where we're at today. Amen. It's hard to find somebody that's good because evilness is everywhere. And now, it was also a time when the witches would gather together on Halloween. Imagine that. They would gather together and they would make their circle. Now, get this. Now, listen to me. You people that like your peace symbol, I mean, you're not going to be happy because the witches would take her and make a circle and they would take a cross. Amen, a cross. And they would get inside that circle and they would break it downward. What they was doing, they was making a statement, praise God, inside that circle that they would never worship the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the peace symbol came from. You put it on your kids and your grandkids, what you're doing is rebelling, saying, hey, you know what? I'm never going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in that cross of Calvary. That's what that represents from the beginning. We can take it and turn it around and say it means, oh, it just means a whole lot of good, a warm, fuzzy things. Well, it doesn't. It's all wickedness. It's evil, praise God. So we have the witches gathered together on Halloween, and then we have what they call in Mexico the Day of the Dead. They gather together and they don't want to offend the dead, so they put out food and things like that to encourage the dead and to keep them from evil spirits from bothering them. Amen. I mean, a lot of these things that people do down over years, and they take it as tradition. If we ain't careful, we carry it on, and our children don't know no better because we don't tell them. I mean, there's even some of the Welches. The Welch people had this thing. You know the old saying, when you sneeze, they say, God bless you. That started over in Welch with the Welch people because they believed that on Halloween that if you sneeze, that when a person sneezed, their spirit actually left their body and had to come back in. And they believed that if you sneezed on Halloween, that the booger man was going to grab your spirit and he may carry it off. So that's where they got to saying, God bless you. If you wasn't possessed by devil after you sneezed. Amen. But I'm just talking about something. It don't line up with the Word of God. It's nothing to do with Him. But praise God, we can see these things playing out. I mean, in the day and hour, we get caught up in it, don't we? Man, you're just sneezing and the devil catching your soul and running off with it. Amen. Pitiful. But they believed that. Why? It's because it was taught to them. But in our religious, I'm talking about our religious confusion that we have. Our religion is confusing. But I tell you what, salvation ain't confusing. Salvation is the Lord. But so we look at this stuff and we see where it came from and we see this pagan holiday called Halloween. And do we celebrate it? So many times we do if we ain't careful. But what does God say about it? What does God say about this holiday? I want to just give you just a couple of verses right quickly. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, in verse 29. Well, let's go back to 28. He said, observe and hear, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. He said, observe and hear all these words I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Now that ought to be our goal today, amen, is to do what's good and right in the eyes of God. It don't matter if it hair lips the world and the devil, praise God. We don't care. Just so we can be pleasing to the Lord, amen, that we can follow in the footprints of that's good and right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 29 says, and when the Lord thy God shall cut all the nations from before thee, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land. Take heed. Now listen, verse 30. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? even so will I do likewise. If we ain't very careful, we'll come along right behind the world and we'll serve the gods of this world. Amen? But he goes on in verse 31. He says that thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination of the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Amen? They've offered them up to Moloch. They said, hey, you know what? Here, we'll take your sons or daughters and we'll just let you burn them up. I can see God in that, can't you? God help us. But you say, well, preacher, they should never do that. That's just wickedness. What about all these that's going to the abortion clinic and killing babies day after day after day? And if we ain't very careful, we'll come alongside and say, well, you know, they didn't want it, so just get rid of it. No, if they don't want it, they ought to abstain from having sexual intercourse, amen, until they're married and are ready. Amen? Just because you make a mistake, praise God, you don't need to make two. And I tell you one thing. Let me just say this while I'm here. This Planned Parenthood is straight out of the pits of hell. Amen? Amen? They're straight out of the pits of hell. They say, well, you know, if a baby isn't planned, then you just need to go ahead and terminate it. They won't even give them options. They say, it's not planned. You just need to plan on abortion. An abortion, getting rid of it. That's out of the pit. Amen? But the bad thing is that our tax dollars support them. Millions of dollars a year go to killing little babies. And then they wonder, you know, well, you know, it's just sad because we don't have enough tax revenue, amen, to take care of our elderly. Well, if we hadn't have killed millions of babies, praise God, they'd have been paying into it, and praise God, we'd had a surplus. Yes. Whose fault is it? It's the church's, praise God, because we stand back and we let this stuff go and we never lift a voice. Amen. It's time we stood up and say, you know what? There's some things that's wrong, and God says wrong, and the only way to make it right is get back in the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he says, hey, listen, so there's some people here that's lifting up their children unto the devil. Amen. They're just turning them over. I said they begin to accept these pagan customs. Amen. If we ain't very careful, we get suckered in too. Say, well, preacher, it's just a little trick-or-treating. Little harmless fun. Amen. And we get drawn into the scheme of things. We dress up our children like little old boogers and send them out in the neighborhood. Amen. God help us, youngins. It's funny, but it's not. Amen. We'll dress them up like boogers and devils and witches and everything else and send them out into the neighborhood. God help us. Amen. We've got caught up in these pagan customs. Amen. What we've done, we've compromised our worship. We're worshiping other things. Other things is more important than listening to the voice of God. Amen? If we ain't very careful, we compromise, amen? We compromise our worship. Hey, there's a message. Hey, you know what? We don't know how to worship no more. We forgot how to worship the Lord down at the house of God. We come in there with a preacher. It's like I said, I believe Sunday morning, Sunday night, we come in with a form and a fashion. But we don't really know how to worship God in spirit and truth like He deserves to be worshipped. But they come in and they begin to compromise the Word of God. They begin to get into devil worship, demonic worship. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul talks about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. He said, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship, now listen, with devils. Amen? He said, hey, listen, what these Gentiles is doing, they're sacrificing to devils. And he said, I would that you wouldn't have anything to do with devils. That's pretty straight up. That kind of throws Halloween out the window, doesn't it? You say, well, I believe we can dress up like a good stuff, hogwash. Amen? You can take a pig and wash him, but he's still a pig. Amen? You can't polish your stuff up and make it look... That's what the church was doing. The early universal church was doing. They was trying to absorb all these cultures and all these celebrations. Amen? There's a time when the church has got to stop and we got to stand back. And you say, you know what? God says this is wrong. There ain't nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know what? Something's wrong. I don't care how much they say that we need to be politically correct. When something's wrong, bless God, when God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? Notice what he says in verse 21. He said, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't have it both ways. You got to decide whether we're going to go with God or we're going to go with the world and the devil. Amen? Said, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Listen, young people, you need to decide tonight whose side you're on. We have to either be on the Lord's side and try our best to do right with His help, or we're just serving the devil. Amen? And we don't want to serve the devil because he's a wicked rascal. And he don't care nothing about us. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 10, it says this. It says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Answer is no. We're not stronger than the Lord. Amen? So what he's saying is, hey, the Lord knows what's right, so why don't we just follow what's right? Makes all the difference in the world. Amen? Because if we ain't careful, we're worshiping demons and don't even know it. Demonic things. And we're worshiping the God of this world. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, he tells us who it is. He said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen? That's who's in the world today. That's the God of this world is Satan, the devil, Lucifer, amen, the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren. That's who's in charge of this world today. That's the God of his present world. And I don't care nothing about worshiping him. He has nothing for me but death and destruction, anguish and sorrow, heartache and sadness, amen. The world's got enough of that without me following after it. But I want some joy in my life. So I want to follow the Lord. I want to see what the Lord can do for me, because the devil's got an influence. The devil is a force to be reckoned with. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The Bible says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're battling against today, folks. We're battling against the devil. We're battling against the wicked one, amen, tooth and nail. And we've got to stand up, praise God. Listen, mamas and daddies, we're the ones that's got to take the stand, because our children are going to follow our lead. And what we do and what we instruct them in, praise God, that's what they'll instruct our children to do. And if we lead them in the wrong path, we lead them to follow the world and the devil, praise God, then that's what they're going to do. And they're not even, hey, and it's not really going to be their fault, because they don't know any better. We've showed them how to go. God help us to do it right. Amen? I was talking to a couple today, and they're talking about a little old boy and the struggle that he's having in his life, how he was disruptive in school, and how he got suspended, and he'd been fighting, and he just couldn't. I'm talking about a 12-year-old boy. And he just couldn't. They've had him on all kinds of ADD or DTD or whatever medicines and all this stuff. Amen. Just the whole spectrum of drugs to try to calm him down and get him focused. And they said, preacher, just nothing's working. What can they do? And I said, let me ask you a question. How's their family life? He said, what do you mean? I said, does he know that mama and daddy love him? Do they pick him? They carry him to church? Do they tell him about the Lord? They tell him that the Lord loves him, and that they do too? And he just hung his head, and he said, it's not good at home. I said, well, that's why it's not good in junior. Amen? Because his home life. Amen? He's not getting what he needs. I mean, we need to tell our youngins that we love them. We need to take time to care for them, praise God. Because the power that's in this world, praise God, is a mighty power. The devil has a strong lure on our children. Amen? But the Bible says that we're not supposed to have any fellowship with the devil. And look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says, be ye not unequal yoked together with unbelievers. Young people, listen to me. When you go to find your friends, find you somebody that loves the Lord. somebody that goes to church, or maybe bring them with you. Amen. Show them that you love the Lord and that the Lord loves them so that they can get in, not to be unequally yoked. He said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. What communion hath light with darkness? Everything about Halloween's darkness, isn't it? Black and witches and black cats and gothic and all this other junk. Amen. It's darkness. And Bible says that we're supposed to be children of the light. Amen. So we put away the darkness. Because when the light shines, praise God, it don't take but a little bit of light, Brother Jesse, in your heart, praise God, then the darkness will flee. Amen. And the marvelous light will shine forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. It'll shine forth. Now look what he goes on to say. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? He said, what part do you have? He said, with an unbeliever. Now listen, he said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He said, well, preacher, there it is. See, we're not that because we don't worship idols. If we put something in front of God and we say, you know what, we're going to pursue this even though God says it's wrong, then we're worshiping idols. We become idol worshipers. Hello? I don't know about you. I don't want to be no idol worshiper. If God says it's wrong, then we need to leave it alone. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen? Nobody else can be your God. Amen? God Almighty has to be your God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we accept Him, amen, we don't have to put Him up. We don't have to go to nobody and ask. We don't have to pray to nobody else. Pray God, we can talk God. He said, enter in boldly into the throne of grace. When Jesus died on the cross, He split the veil, amen, that would keep us out of the Holy of Holies, from the top, glory to God, to the bottom, so we could come in and we could talk to God. Amen. We could just go in conversant with Him, praise God, before the throne of grace. Amen. Face to face with the Holy God and bring our supplications before Him, praise God. And He will hear us. Amen. Amen. But the first thing He'll hear in our life is, Lord, I'm an old sinner needing of a Savior. I'm lost and undone. I'm a sinner. I'm vile and wicked. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad. You're worse than us. Rest of us. Amen. I know I'm an old sinner saved by grace. But if the old devil's got you confused, think you're okay, then you're lost worse than you think. Amen. But praise God, they said, why? How do you know? Because if you're a child of God, you've been separated from the Lord, and the Holy Ghost of God's living in your heart. And He begins to change you. He makes you into a different person. Amen. He said, they shall be my people. He said, wherefore, now listen, He said, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now that's a personal thing. He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So here He says the same thing He said in Deuteronomy. He said, leave those unclean things alone. Amen. Flee even the appearance of evil. If it even looks wrong, praise God, we're supposed to run from it. I'm telling you, spooks and boogers, praise God, that don't look appealing to me. Amen. It looks wrong. It is wrong. And we're supposed to flee from it. We both be separated from it. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. That just nails her down right there. He said, if we'll separate ourselves from this junk in the world, stay pure, amen, stay in the will of God. He said, and separate ourselves from the wickedness and the evil that's all around us. He said, I'll be the Lord Almighty to you. Amen. Hey, it don't get no better than that, because we know who the Lord Almighty is. He's the Almighty Lord. Amen. The one that's able to save to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. He said, stay away from those things. Look over in Leviticus. This stuff that we chase today, and we say, well, it don't really mean, there's really no harm in it. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. We'll start at verse 28. He said, ye shall not make cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Now listen to this. Nor print any markings upon you I am the Lord. Huh, that right there should shut the tattoo parlors down. Amen? That right there should shut the tattoo parlors down for a child of God. He said you're not supposed to make any markings upon your bodies. Amen. Or no cuttings upon your flesh. He said, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Amen. So he says some things here that we should do. He said, I am the Lord. Now listen to verse 31. This is where I was trying to get to. He said, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. Amen. He said, you need to leave the spooky stuff alone. I want to tell you, this witchcraft and sorcery, that's real. Amen. It's real. They was talking to a lady the other day and said she had got caught up in that when she was a six-year-old girl. Now listen to me. And she got caught up in that and she started doing all these things and reading these Torah cards, whatever they're called. And she said she got to where she could predict things that was going to happen. I mean, even to people dying within a few days. Scary stuff, but it's real. You say, well, preacher, I'd like to have that power. No, that's wickedness. It's of the devil. It's a deceiver. It destroys. It tears down. She said she was on her way. Said it led to drugs and alcohol. And she was on her way into the pit. Amen. But God, praise God, come along and saved her from that mess. And she said, she won't just stand down the whole world and all the youngins, praise God, that mess is wrong to stay away from it. God said, stay away from the sorcery and the witchcraft. Leave the Harry Potter alone. Amen. That's wickedness. That's the devil trying to infiltrate your mind. Get you to think that there's a higher power than the God that you serve. Amen. I won't say there's no higher power than God Almighty. The one that we serve, praise God. Hey, you can't take bad and make it good. You can't do it. I don't care how much we try, Halloween or any other time, you cannot take bad and paint it good. It don't work. Amen. Bad is bad. God says it's wrong. And we need to leave it alone. Because if we don't, praise God, we're getting caught up in idolatry. Amen. We're worshiping these things. Because when God says leave it alone, don't bother it, don't have nothing to do with it, and we're saying, God, we know more than you. Amen. We're going to dabble in it just a little. It won't hurt nothing once a year. But let me ask you a question. If you tell your children that witchcraft and demons and black magic and all that stuff is wrong 364 days a year, but one day a year you tell them, well, you know what, honey, that's okay for tonight. What are you telling your children? You're sending them a mixed signal. And they're going to start doubting you and say, well, you know what? I wonder if mom and daddy, if there's other things that they're confused about. Because see, it's not their confusion. It's your confusion that they're picking up. And they'll begin to question, is what you're telling them about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about salvation really real? You say, well, preacher, it won't go to that extreme. It does all the time. But we have to realize that we can't spread these, send these mixed signals because it leads to idolatry, to us leaning towards following and worshiping something else. I was thinking as I was looking over this, you know, Jesus, the Bible said Jesus cast out demons. Amen. The Bible says Jesus, didn't he? Didn't the Bible say Jesus cast out demons? Well, let me ask you a question, just logic here. Let's just get it where the rubber meets the road. See, the Bible says Jesus cast out demons out of the man's son who's full of the devil, and amen, all these other things. Jesus cast out demons. Well, let me ask you, why do we dress our children up like one and send them out into the world to pick up candy? When Jesus was casting them out, why do we want to dress our little children up like a devil, like a witch? Like so, you say, well, preacher, I don't. I dress them like a fireman or something. But you're missing the whole point. Amen? It's about observing something, praise God, that we should never observe anyway. Amen? That's why we don't observe Halloween. You say, well, preacher, we always have and we're going to keep doing it. Well, you just keep rebelling against God till something happens. Amen? And it will. But you know what? God says, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Amen. That's what we need to be doing. Trying to do what's pleasing to God and not rebelling against Him. Because He'll direct us in the right way. But this thing was set up. It's a pagan holiday. that we should never observe.